Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Wardell Potts Jr., and you have tuned in to Solar Records Radio. Thank you so much. And now, with that being said, it is time to take an adventure in the land of music. Welcome to Solar Records Radio. This is Throwback Thursday, and I'm excited because, you know, we get to hang out with Phoenix, and you guys know how that is. He is our brother, and we enjoy his wisdom and his humor all at the same time. So let's bring him on. Phoenix, are you there, my brother?
Yes, I am. Live in living color.
All right, cool, man. How's it going out there for you?
Oh, it's beautiful, man. It's a beautiful day in Las Vegas. It's humbling because as we're going into this last quarter and change of scenery, man. It's, you know, it's good to be alive and enjoying God's country, man. It's beautiful. We're in a protected land, I always felt, surrounded by mountains. Don't get much better, bro.
I know that's right. I know that's right, man. Well, it's gloomy over here. It's been raining like crazy. So the total opposite over here is a little on the ugly side. But we do what we have to do, right? It's the cost of living in the country. And, I mean, not just the country, but...
Take the bitter with the sweet, man. That's all
right. That's right, because I love Southern California. We, you know, it was great. We had a wonderful time. The weather was absolutely amazing, and that's why you pay the cost to live in that place, because it is great weather. But it hardly ever rains, and that's not real healthy for the land. But over here, the beauty is just, you know, living in a park and, you know, having all the animals and, you know, trees and just, it's so, you know, you got to give a little bit, take a little bit, you know, it's up to you, whatever you want, right? And so some people choose to do both. They have a house on the West Coast and the East Coast or whatever coast, you know, they want to have the whole thing. And so, but we chose to just, you know, we've been in California for 40-something years. It was time, let's just try something different. And so, and we're excited about that and glad to be here in Texas. But anyway, with that being said, I want to get to our topic, man. Very interesting topic that you pulled up. And you want me to say the title, or you want to just bring it on? It's up to you.
Oh, you can talk about it. Sure, I'll pull up the rear.
Well, no, I'm just saying the title of it is it commonplace to forgive but not to forget? And yes,
that's right.
It is. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that forgive, but they don't forget. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No,
I was just saying, you know, we're embarking upon a season that for some, they talk of Thanksgiving and they talk about being with family and they look over the year's activity and they give thanks and forgiveness. But I thought it was an appropriate topic to have in the forefront of our minds is to appreciate, do we swing on both sides of the fence? Do we forgive and don't forget? Do we forgive and forget? You know, and I thought it would be a good topic to talk about so it can be in the forefront. We can think about it. We could make a conscious decision. I always falter to letting it go. You know, as the older I get, I've come to appreciate negative energy is negative energy. And if you can dissipate or allow yourself to download the negative energy and walk away, like even as Christians, they say, you know, throw your burdens on the Christ. But do we throw our burdens on him and then he say, oh, let me take it back. He needs help. No, he doesn't. You know, throw your burdens. His shoulders are broader than ours. And so that's a part of forgiving and forgetting. But maybe we don't share the same viewpoint. And so let's talk about that.
Well, you know, I some, you know, like I have this sense that forgiving is a beautiful gesture. It's a beautiful thing that we do and that we're told to do by our Creator. And then the other part of not forgetting seems to me that it's some form of protection so that you don't set yourself up for that same thing to happen. Because if I have to forgive someone, if I have to forgive you, it must have hurt me in some shape or form. If I have to forgive you, and so we don't want, you know, we're supposed to learn from our lessons, right? We're supposed to, and so, or in our experiences. And so to forget almost seems like you're setting yourself up for failure. Again, can you help me with that?
Well, again, this is directed to you more specifically because I know you share the Christian value. From the Christian standpoint, the Christian credo, the Creator installed that for a reason. And yes, He wants us to forgive unilaterally across the board and to forget because it really, it's a negative energy. So that's from a religious standpoint. That's not an interpretation, but it's God's word. And God's word is God's word. You know, don't kick the messenger. But, you know, if you forgive and you don't forget, from my vantage point, from a humble vantage point, you carry around the burden. You're constantly reminded. But when you forgive freely and you forget freely, to me it's more than a gesture. It becomes a credo. It becomes the way you live. And it allows you, some scientists have even proven that you live longer because you walk around with less emotional baggage. And so, you know, we can look at it from various vantage points, and it doesn't make it wrong. It's just what you believe and what you've been accustomed to put into practice. For me, I've been through, oh my goodness, through my personal experiences, particularly with family members. Man, I've gone through the gamut. And when I held it to my chest and I couldn't forget it, it was cancerous. And so I appreciated the Creator's infinite wisdom because He's the one who's created us. Again, from my understanding, not everybody is a Christian. Not everybody follows the Christian credo. And I accept that. But from His vantage point, yes, we should forgive and forget, and it has its benefits. I've experienced it.
This is from one of the listeners, and it kind of it says it's kind of saying what something to respond to what I said too. It said, "Should we remember that we have all wronged someone at some time, so someone might need to forgive us too?" And
yes,
right. And so when I read that, I was like, oh. Okay, because
that's a deep shade of gray right there, bro. What I like about that comment is, you know, sometimes when you take I out of the equation and what hurt me, and then you can say, you know what, how is what I'm saying, is it beneficial? Here we are, we have the privilege of speaking to the masses, and I always take that responsibility in high honor. It's not about what I think, but what could the audience or the listener, could they take away from a positive perspective? Maybe I might fall short of that, and I do because I'm only human after all, right? That's what Human League said, you're only human after all. I fall short of God's requirements all the time. But it is a good practice if we can, if it's at all possible. Leave it on the table and walk away and let it go. Try not to hold on to it. Yes, you'll learn just by virtue of the fact that we're intelligent creatures. Hopefully we're smarter than our smartphones. And yes, if you've experienced something, to me, if I know that you're a negative person and you want to drag me in the quagmire, so to speak, I'm going to walk away and I'm going to try to avoid you in that circumstance as much as possible. I'm not going to return to the same problem if I could. So in that way, I've disassociated myself with what caused me the problem in the first place. And sometimes, unfortunately, for me, it's actually been family members, those that I'm biologically connected to. You know, we might have shared the same womb, but we're completely different people. Mm-hmm. And so I just stay away. There's no need for me, you know, to constantly put myself in a situation where I'm going to be disappointed, you know?
Well, I know other people that have that same situation where they have, you know, kind of abandoned I can understand why you would abandon some people, right? Because you don't want to put yourself through that. But then when we talk about family, and I know some people that have done the same thing with family. So my question is, but with family, what if family, you know, decides to grow up and change their ways and not be that and realize that they were really wrong and you know, as to their character, and they did the right thing and they changed it. If you abandoned that whole situation, you'll never know. How does that make you feel?
Well, that's why, you know, to me, the Creator's word is always infallible, because it says to forgive. And so if you forgive and that person has been forgiven and they show a total course that has been diametric from the way they used to walk, then it would be applicable. They would be back in your life again. They have demonstrated, not that they have to prove anything to you, but it becomes apparent. I mean,
how do they get to show that to you if you're not available?
Well, as Christians within the Christian credo, I think even within the song Amazing Grace, to pick the person that was once lost, they're found, you saved a wretch like me, etc. So when you transform, God's word is transformative, and it's not up for us to judge. It's becomes known by spiritual men and those that have spiritual inclinations. And I think, you know, coming from New York, I come from what they've deemed the modern Rome. I'm a pretty good judge of character. And when those that come that are humble, as in a family member, I won't say who, has recently come back to the fold, and so many family members were so afraid that I was going to shun this particular individual. They called me. They were in shock. I took them for face value. I embraced them immediately. I didn't even bring up the past hurt. You know, the scripture says the it will rest as fiery coals upon their head. They were uncomfortable, but I had totally forgiven. I had moved on. Mm-hmm. And I felt completely exonerated from the issue. So I hope that sheds a little light. When you totally forgive, that's one of the byproducts of forgiveness. That person's transformative personality comes through. And if you look through life through spiritual lenses, you see it. That's what it's all about. That's what Christ said we could look at. The woman that had the alabaster jar of oil, she was a temple prostitute, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, including his men, they were appalled. But he could tell through spiritual lenses, and by her actions, that's where we get that expression, proved louder than words. She took a year's wage and she poured it on his skin, and her tears she wiped on his leg. He didn't shun her. She was completely exonerated, forgiven.
Amen.
So can we take a page out of that diary? I think so.
All right. And I think, you know, I know that consuming holding anger will consume you. That is a very dangerous place to be. From the listeners, forgiving is for the optimist. Resentment and anger is for the pessimist. And I know that people,
like,
you know,
that.
Either
I
you
mean,
see the glass halfway full, or you see it halfway empty.
I love that. You know, I am never, I'm always completely leveled by this audience that tunes in to me are not only attractive, but some of the most intelligent ones that I've come across, because that expression speaks volumes at a law office. You know, because when you're a pessimist, you carry a burden. You know, but when I remember it was raining outside and my mother told me that I couldn't go out and play, I said, come on, Mom, you had me take a shower earlier. It's just raining sunshine. My mom's looked at me. She said, oh, boy, get away from me. I've always been optimistic. I always try to see the good in somebody. And it keeps me free, even creatively. You know, it keeps me free. I don't carry that burden around. But when I have in the past, I always felt like there was a dark cloud over me. And this person yielded a certain amount of control. You know, have you ever gone to a party when you were younger and you ran across one of your arch enemies? You can't even dance, man. I mean, I can't even enjoy the punch. You're so
busy
worrying about if that person is checking you out. What are they saying? But when you graduate to the point where, hey, man. And matter of fact, you take the first step. Glad to see you, man. Look at Jay-Z, not to blow him up, but Jay-Z and Dame Dash. You know, Jay-Z recently in the news, you know, ended a 20-year-plus feud with Damian Dash. They were label work co-workers. And he recently took an award. And one of the first things out of his mouth, I have to give him his kudos. He said, listen, I just want to thank Damian Dash. But without him, you know, along the lines, he was saying that he made all things possible. You know, Damian Dash wrote into the radio station there and say, you know what? I'm embracing that. And I think we're about to end our 20-year feud. Because Jay-Z took the first step and he let it go. And he recognized this man for his accomplishments. Can we take a page out of that diary?
Right.
That's a good thing, man.
Absolutely. I mean, I love that. I love, you know, when we act the way that we should as adults, that's kind of like you just grew up, man. You grew up and took responsibility for the situations you were in, and you decided, hey, I'm going to step out on a limb here, and I'm going to show that I want this to come to an end. And a lot of times when we reach out, it really can benefit us in a very optimistic way. And I'm so glad that the response to his optimism was what it was. And so my hat's off to both.
These guys are leaders amongst men. I mean, these guys have done the unthinkable. I know Jay-Z is from Marcy Projects, and anybody from New York that knows anything about Marcy, listen, I'm a grown man, but there were a few places. I went to Queensbridge, I went to Marcy Projects, or I went to 40 Projects. And let me tell you something. When you walked in any of those territories, you kept your eyes glued on where you were going. And you didn't walk around loitering about your business because, like my mom used to say, you could get your head handed to you. So that's where Jay-Z is from. Jay-Z is from Marcy Projects. No joke. It's like Beirut in New York. It's in Brooklyn, New York.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So for a man to come up from where he's come from to be a billionaire, not that monetarily is everything, but he's done the unthinkable. This guy, Damon Dash, is a leader amongst men. Those two guys could settle a 20-year feud because they let it go. Because they say, I'm going to forgive and I'm going to forget. So who's in charge? God, all the way, because he knows better than us. Now, let me just conclude by saying this. That doesn't mean I haven't faltered. That doesn't mean I haven't forgotten certain things. And I wrestle with that every day. It's hard. This is not an easy thing to do. When somebody has wronged you, for you to really turn the other cheek, oh, my God. But
it's
a
challenge.
What you said, Wardell. You say when you've done that, you grow up. You arrive. It's like, wow. I feel refreshed like I just took a shower. Man, why didn't I do this before?
Yes, absolutely.
So for our listeners, please try it. If you haven't, work at it. It's so uplifting to let it go and really forgive a person and forget it. Oh, man.
Because really, you can forgive a person for you. You know, because if you hold on to it, it will destroy you from the inside out. So sometimes, you know, you're just forgiving a person just for you. I mean, just like, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm not going to fight with this no more. I'm going to forgive you. I hope you can forgive me and we can move forward. But if you don't want to, that's on you. I'm forgiving you because I got to get this off of me.
But kudos to the audience that came up with the optimism and pessimism, because sometimes you think you see things black and white, but that particular statement that this individual so blessed us with gives us an opportunity to look at it from a different vantage point, like a diamond ring. depending upon where you stand, you see the glare or the refraction or the beauty of the diamond. When somebody is optimistic, oh, man, in an extreme sense, like I said, it's raining outside, it's liquid sunshine. The person who is pessimistic sometimes, not always, can become complainative. It changes their dynamic. They become less trusting, and it's a burden. Sometimes even they can be indecisive, and that's another avenue that can be enhanced with that personality. And the Creator says that he hates someone who is indecisive. The Grand Instructor says that when you're indecisive, oh, my God. You know, how many women out there have gone out to dinner and they've asked their significant other, well, honey, what do you want to eat? Oh, I don't know. What do you want to eat? Well, I don't know. Do you want Chinese? Do you want Japanese? Do you want Italian? Do you want American? I don't know. What do you want, babe? Indecisive. It's irritating. And if you haven't experienced it, you're doing well. But when somebody can't make up their mind, oh, my God. It's like, make up your mind, dude. You feel me on that?
I hear you. Yes, I hear you on that. I mean,
yeah, so these can be byproducts of a person that holds on to a negative energy that they could let go. You know, if somebody has wronged you, that's historic. Now, if you choose to bring that into your present and walk that into your future, then you're carrying around what's called emotional baggage. Again, that's my humble opinion. Don't take what I say. I mean, that's just my humble opinion. I don't want to carry on emotional baggage.
I was married for a long time to a person that I was very angry with, and it was destroying me from the inside out. I went to church. I talked to God about it. And we just went back and forth. I mean, I started counseling 3 months after I got married, and I stayed married for 22 years because of my children. And the bottom line is that we weren't meant to be together, but because we had children, I didn't want to let go. And so I did everything I could to fight for that, you know, to keep that my children surrounded with love. Unfortunately, that didn't work out. Just because two people are there don't mean that the kids are now, because now the kids are around headaches. Two people that don't like each other, and they're your parents. and so I remember right before we got divorced, I went to the cross, and my pastor said, anyone you want to pray for, just come up, you know, put their name on a piece of paper, come up and put it in a bucket at the bottom of the cross, and we're going to pray for them. And I remember doing that, and then later on that day, my ex-wife asked for a divorce because I was frustrated that she was smoking around my children in the room with my children with the door closed. And I was just like, I don't understand what are you doing to our kids? And this is very personal. And so at that point she was like, you know what? I'm never going to change. I'm never going to change. This is who I am. And such. So I think we should get a divorce. And I was like, whoa. Divorce. I said, well, God, you heard that. I never gave up. If that's what you want to do, that's. And so we did. But what happened is that the anger, even though we had divorced, I still was upset. I still was mad. I still was frustrated. And then when I decided, or when God said, listen, you need to do what I told you to do, and you need to forgive her. And I did. My whole world changed with her, and my children were happier because it was just a much better environment, even though we weren't living together anymore. But it was the conversation from her to them about me was not putting me down anymore. It was, well, see what your dad says, you know, talk to your dad about it. You know, maybe he can help you on that or whatever the case is. It wasn't that negative thing. So it's so important that we forgive, not just for us, but for the environment that we're in,
yeah.
You know, and I have my children. They were victims of us not forgiving her. You know, I'm not going to say she didn't forgive me, but I know I was angry and I was disappointed and I kept on going. I'm trying to do the right thing by staying here, but this is just miserable. Well, I didn't do the right thing in the beginning. I didn't really check out the situation. I just ran into something that I thought I wanted and realized it wasn't what I really needed. And so, but anyway, I just wanted to say it's a long story, but I realized that forgiveness was really a blessing after, you know, I put my poor children through all that for so many years and myself.
That's okay, man. You know, I always appreciate your stories, man, because you have many. And the intricate thing that I like about you is that you wear your heart in your sleeve. You expose yourself. I said that earlier today to someone dear to me, and they were talking about, I guess, the qualities that I possess as a man. And I say, you know, I have no problem exposing my battle wounds. I have no problem being emotionally available, which I'm told. I have no problem expressing my feelings. And the older I get, the easier it is. And once again, this was something that I learned by watching my dad, because he was a total opposite. My dad kept his feelings locked up in a vault, and only he had the key. And it wasn't almost till he died did he let his guards down and show me his love. And I vowed, that's a strong word, that I would never be that man. Even with my kids, when they wronged me, man, I've walked up to them. My son went to shake my hand, and I kissed him, stubble-faced and all. I said, I love you. And he's done some things. If I told you, bro, you would say, oh, my God. But I forgave him. I forgot it. I let go.
Yes. Yeah,
but
I've been there too.
I just don't put myself in that think tank anymore.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, you know, it was also, you know, therapy, and I chose biblical therapy. In other words, I got with a group of men that studied the word, but we didn't just study the word. As a matter of fact, I started another class here where I am now, where it's just men talking about men's issues and what we go through, but we use the Bible as our roadmap and how to deal with the storm when we're in it, and it's been nothing but an amazing blessing for me. And with my own son who actually hit me with an object, I was ready to take him out. I love him more than anything in the world now. I mean, you know, because I was able to, when I was in that men's group, and I was, you know, I was hot, dude. You don't get mad at me and hit me with anything. I'm your father. And but you know, my men's group, just that having it could be whatever you may need, you know, just having people. You surround yourself with people that is a support group that can bless you in the storm. And that is really important, because for me, being in that storm, I had those brothers that I would talk to, and they would pray with me, and they would biblically share how I should handle this, and they kept me from the dark side. Because, you know, that old guy that I was before I became a Christian, you know, he's always going to be there, and he's always ready to do the wrong thing, right? He's always ready to do the wrong thing. And so that's why we have to stay prayed up. That's why we have to stay. But I want to read something to you from the listeners too. It says, if you stay angry, it punishes you, not the person who wronged you. So your anger is destroying you. And that's why God, exactly. That's right. That's why we have to forgive. If we want to be okay, we have to forgive, because the whatever was wrong, however we were wrong, that's the storm. It's not about the storm. It's about how we handle the storm, what we do in the storm, and the way we do it. You know, forgiveness is one of the keys.
And, you know, you mentioned the children, and this is something sometimes that we don't take into consideration. Some parents have even been guilty of saying, don't do what I do, but do what I say. But remember, you always have those that are close to you that are watching how you handle a situation. And if you're in a position of authority, or you're a person that has, you know, position even within your religious organization, you have to be careful, because there are people that are watching you, and it's not just about you. It's about what you do that causes an effect on others. So let us be considerate of those things as well. It's not all about you.
Yes, absolutely. Really. Now, you okay? Because I want to read something else to you, and I hear you moving there. It says, could forgiving someone in an abusive relationship put you at risk? And I say no, because I'm going to forgive you as I'm leaving. I'm not going to stay there for you to continue to abuse me. I'm not, you know, I'm going to forgive you and I'm going to move on, because there's no reason for anyone to abuse another human being. And if you forgive them and they continue to abuse you, the first time, your fault. Second time is my fault, because I stayed there and allowed it to happen. And it's not going to be my fault. That's my response to it. Go ahead, Phoenix. Are you there, Phoenix?
Okay, yes, I am. Don't. I'm sorry.
Okay. So did you hear what just happened?
I kind of missed that in transmission.
Okay.
I was talking to my buddy.
Okay. All right. So listen. This is from the listeners. Could forgiving someone in an abusive relationship put you at risk? My response to it was no, because I will forgive you, but I'm out the door at the same time, because I'm not going to stay in a relationship with someone continuing to hurt me if I forgive you and you still abusing me. And so many people do that, but me, this one here, won't do it, because like I said, first time, your fault, and it won't be a second time, because I'm not going to allow it. And but there's so many people, unfortunately, I'm very sad about that, that will stay in an abusive relationship because that abuse becomes their norm and they think it's okay. It's just repetitive. And so you just keep forgiving and they keep hitting, or they keep a verbal abuse, which is, they're saying that it might be worse now. I don't know. But still, it's continued abuse. I think it's definitely so damaging that, you know, it can destroy both people.
Well, you know, I'm not gonna broad stroke that, because I know life has its own complexities. And I remember with my mother, the only time I can remember my mother replying to me sharply, my dad was abusive, no doubt about it. And I approached my mother and I took a position with her that she should leave my father. And my mother looked at me and she shut me down quickly. She said, boy, don't you ever tell me that's your father. And that's personal between your dad and I.
True.
You don't know what those complexities are. And
yes.
So I've seen talk shows and I've heard people quick to say, kick them to the curb. You know, you don't know what that situation is. And no, I'm not going to stand here and say, hey, I know for me, if I know somebody is hurting one of my loved ones, I'm gearing up with both guns blazing. Not physical, because I don't believe in weaponry. I'm with the art of empty hand fighting. But I don't condone violence. I don't condone someone hurting someone that I love. And yes, I would probably want to eradicate them, but I would have to take into consideration their feelings. And that's where we, I think, have to be careful. It's not a one-size-fits-all. No. If somebody's hurting somebody and I know anything about it, I'm coming in with my Superman cape. But I have to be careful and look at it and say, well, wait a second. Okay, there's children. We have investments. There's different things. And people play, you know, in a marital situation, especially these attorneys that, you know, that prompt a certain aggressive, litigious behavior. It gets pretty intricate. So we have to be careful we don't broadstroke it. And I agree
right.
with you.
Yeah, but let
if
me
you've
ask
done
this.
Something,
go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you a second. Me personally, you're not going to get a second chance to do it.
Right, right.
But I also have to consider the complexities and the individual qualities of the individual, especially
okay, so,
as a minister.
Right,
know,
right.
It gets complicated.
Absolutely, but this is something that I have a question for you and the listeners. Like, is being in a relationship with someone that's making you crazy, that you don't like, is that an abusive relationship? I'm not talking about somebody physically hurting you, because, like, I stayed married for 27 years and I was unhappy. So is that an abusive relationship, or is that a...
Well, verbal abuse has been actually rated sometimes worse
well,
than
but
physical.
It's not even verbal. It's just that we didn't agree on just basic things. Like, we just were two different, we cared about, we're two different fish from two different parts of the sea. And so it's just like, wow, we don't agree on it. We don't like
again,
to do a lot
of
the same things.
That's a personal dynamic, and there's no broad stroke and there's no one size fits all. It depends on a lot of variables. You know, sometimes you have to agree, as we said before, to disagree. Sometimes you have to take into account cultural differences and social mores and focal points. That's why, you know, when I've counseled people prior to marriage, I've given them a list of things that they should ask. Like, where do you see yourself 5 years from now? What do you see yourself doing? What if we have children and your child does this? Are you going to believe in corporal punishment? Your child maybe, your significant other doesn't? Those are things that should be worked out prior to getting into a marriage. And when you do, and you're already in it, there's an accountability, I believe, and a responsibility. You know what my personal circumstance is without getting into the gory details. So
okay.
I had to reconcile with those things.
Right.
So it's complex. I guess what I'm saying, each situation has got to be merited with the individual and the variables and the location and the culture. And what has been invested,
right?
Some broad strokeable items.
Right. Now, so this is from the listeners. Should I look at forgiving as a symbolic gift to the other person? Should I look at forgiving as a symbolic gift to the other person?
Yeah, I mean, that's a nice way of putting it. It is a gift, because a gift is something that you give freely. A gift is something that you give, hopefully, without looking for it being reciprocal. Like, don't give a gift and say, what did you give me? It should be given freely.
Right.
So
right.
I would say, yes, it is a gift. And again, depending upon the relationship and the person, it might be appropriate.
Right.
Only you and
right.
God can determine that.
Right. You know, the one thing that you brought up earlier with the rapper.
Jay-Z and
Jay-Z.
And Dame Dash.
So, yeah, the one thing that happened there is that Jay-Z gave a gift and he got one in return. See, that's
yeah.
See, it's not that you're looking for it in return. You just
no.
saying, you know, hey, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And I just want you to know how I appreciate what you've done. You're amazing, such, such, such. That is so good. That is so right on point, because you're...
And he did it in an open forum. And
right.
An interesting thing.
Right.
Prior to that, there was some discussions on some radio shows, and people were trying to dredge up what happened between them. And Damon Dash, I agree with him. He took a responsible position. He said, that's historic. I didn't come here to talk about that. And if that's all you want to talk about, our conversations are done.
Right.
You're just trying to fan the flames.
Absolutely.
And I'm over that. I don't want to discuss
right.
that anymore.
Right.
And
right.
I think maybe that seed or that gift took sprout. Like you say, you can plant Apollo watered but only God can make it grow. God made it grow. And he said, okay, you're going to do that? Tell you what I'm going to do. Watch this. Let's see how you receive that gift. And he received it with a blessing. So all of these things work in tandem, as far as I'm concerned, and they're blessings, especially if you don't expect them to be reciprocal. You know, you should never – my dad was not a spiritual man, but he would always say, when you give from your heart. Don't expect something in return, because how many times I've seen people during the holidays, man, I bought you a car, man. You bought me this stupid car. Man, I hate you. You know what I mean?
Silliness.
Yeah. I love the tie. Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's a different mindset.
Yeah, because
I'm
not
looking
yet to get anything in return. I'm just giving. Right.
That's
man. This is
that's
awesome.
A beautiful thing when you can just give without reciprocity, without any kind of connectivity to whatever you think they're going to do.
Right.
It's so lighthearted that way.
This is awesome. This is awesome from the listeners. It says, bad events are temporary. Make sure anger and resentment are also temporary. Wow. Yeah, absolutely.
Never ceases to amaze me. That's it.
That's it right there. You know, that was a temporary issue. Let's deal with it.
Okay, that's it. End of the show. She put the period at the end of the sentence.
That's it. It's done.
We're moving forward.
Yeah. Right. But you know, but there's some situations, man, where, you know, and I, you know, some of the people, I respect the fact that they're angry and they don't want to let it go and it's consuming them. You know, it's because the pain was so bad. It's so terrible what they did to them or their child or someone. It's too, you can say all you want to say about forgiving, but that pain is so deep that, you know, we have to figure out how to help them to get away from the pain. How do you help them to, you know, because that pain, every time they think about what happened, you know, whether it's rape or incest or anything like that, is so deep that you don't, like, it's hard to even understand it if you haven't been there. Not saying that you don't understand it if you haven't been there. I'm just saying it's hard to understand it if you haven't been there. And so how do you talk to those people? How do we bless those people? And I just think that they need to pray. They need to have God, you know, work them with them from the inside out, because it's deep. It's so deep in there, man, that it's hard to say it's okay.
Well,
but I know people that have done it. That forgiving
let me,
people.
Let me say this to you, bro.
Say it.
Love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. And no matter what, there is nothing insurmountable that God cannot forgive. I mean, we might get on the other side and be shaking hands with Hitler. We might have said, man, I can't stand Hitler, what he did historically. The Creator might have seen something good in him. Apostle Paul, pillar of righteous men. God took him and used him. Cyrus, so many. King David, look at the things he did. I always send that to young men that think that they've done something so terrible. I said, look at King David. God considered him a close friend and associate. You know, so you don't know. And if you, being a parent, I know once my son, he cursed the teacher. I don't put up with cursing, using profanity. And my son knew it. He cursed the teacher out. He used every kind of word I didn't even know he knew about. And when he came home, he was shaking in his boots. Oh, my God. He said, my dad's going to kill me. Oh, my God. Teacher called and said, your son was using profanity. You know what I did? Real quick story. I had purchased him some new sneakers. My son is a sneakerhead. And I bought him the new Shocks. They were the new Nike Shocks, and they were his size. They were beautiful. He came in the door shaking and crying. I'm sorry, David. I said, his name is Paris. I said, Paris, go upstairs in my closet on the top shelf on the left-hand side. There's a box. Bring it down to me. So he went and got it. He was so upset. He didn't even realize it was sneakers. He brought them down. I said, son, There's that. Open the box. He pulled the sneaker. He still didn't get it. I said, those are 10 and a half. I wear 11 and a half. I said, put them on. Put the sneakers on, son.
These are the newest. These are the latest and greatest.
How did they steal, son?
I
said, you don't have to ask your father, nor your heavenly father. He knows what you want. And I got you these sneakers because you thought you knew how I was going to react to you. You don't know how I'm going to react to you. Wear the sneakers in good health. But, son, by the way, don't let me ever hear you use vanity at a teacher again. He cried so hard. He cried harder than if I beat him with a stick. He was so hurt because he thought he knew what I was going to do. And the reason I brought that up is that you don't know how God's going to respond. He might bless Hitler. You don't know. So that's why he says, judge, and you will be judged also. You never know. But if you give and forgive freely, no matter what the circumstance, no matter how insurmountable you think it is, these things are nothing to the Creator. My
right. I'm not saying that the Creator can't forgive. I'm saying that the human that has experienced this sexual abuse or any kind of abuse like that will have a much harder time, some of them. And when they're there, I don't want to beat them up and tell them, no, you need to forgive. You just, I think that, it, you know, because they think that you're insensitive. You have no clue. You have no idea. And the goal is not to make them resent you, but it's, you want them to understand that you got their back and you love them, and we're going to pray this thing, and we're going to get you're going to get better, and everything's going to be good. So I'm just what I'm saying.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I hope you don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm just looking at the parameters. You know, sometimes you have to know the rules of engagement. Okay, I'm here. Like, have you ever gone into a large department store and they have an arrow? You are here, and you want to get over to the sporting goods side. You have to go through this labyrinth or this maze to get to the sporting goods. And I'm just saying, a person that is there, I would never downplay or minimize where they're at. All I'm saying is, this is where you can go if you allow yourself the journey. And so, no, we can never broad stroke. We can only say, this is the rules of engagement. This is the credo. And if you can fit into that, that's good. Sometimes it takes people many years. It does.
Yes.
And you nor I can short circuit that. So I'm in agreement with you. I'm just showing you the other side of the coin.
There you go. Well,
yeah, that's it,
man, that's good talk. And I really enjoyed this conversation today. Thanks for the topic and stuff. And, you know, it's been kind of crazy around here. I've been going through a lot. But we're getting ready for the season. We're getting ready. Oh, my goodness. I cannot believe that Christmas is here. I mean, people are decorating, and Starbucks are giving out Christmas cups now. It was just Halloween 2 seconds ago, and so it's like all of a sudden here we go, we right into Christmas, and it's like, wow, this is it, man. That's okay. So I gotta say, in all it, so let the truth be known, let the truth be told, this is my favorite time of the year. Not only was it my birthday, where I celebrated my birthday, but I knew going out of this that we get to the part of the year where family starts to plan to get together for Thanksgiving. And it's so much love that happens. Like, and you know, people get excited. We're going to see, I'm going to see my cousins. I'm going to see my auntie. I'm going to see my grandparents. It's a beautiful time in the United States here. And I'm just so excited about, you know, this holiday. And some people celebrate it in other countries as well. But it's beautiful because we can be grateful and thankful, and we come together and love on each other and just enjoy. And I wish life could be like that all the time. But I'll take this moment, but it would be wonderful if we could be loving to each other like this all the time. It would be absolutely amazing. So this is my favorite time of the year. And then right after Thanksgiving, we go into Christmas, where it's still the same kind of thing. We all coming together. It's not about the gifts. It's just about, you know, for me, it's about celebrating the birth of Christ and at the same time loving on each other. And it's a beautiful, beautiful time. And then we end it with a New Year celebration as we start off and kick off a new year. And so I'm excited about where we are and where we just in terms of the year, the time of the year that we're in. And I hope that we all can be blessed in it and be safe and be loving to one another. And please, if you are carrying this load of unforgiveness, please drop it off. Because it's destroying you. It's unhealthy and it's not good for you. And that's what we want for you here at Solar Records Radio. We want you to be blessed. You're too blessed to be stressed. Let it go and let God. So Phoenix,
you're blessed to be stressed. I like that.
Yeah, my mama taught me that. So
I might
Phoenix,
have to coin that phrase, bro. I mean, I don't do religious songs. I stray from those, but I do. I am working on a couple of projects, sort of like a T.D. Jakes kind of thing, and I just try to be motivational. So I like that. Too stressed to be blessed, you know.
Stress.
Too blessed to be stressed.
Yes.
I said the inverse. Well, I like
it's
that.
All good.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's all good.
So anyway, in closing, do you have anything you would like to? To share.
Yes. You know, work at being your optimum, your personal best. Take nothing away from this discussion, but working on your personal best. Nobody can tell you to be you, because you are you, because everyone else is already taken. And so no matter where you're at, like we said in the proverbial mall, you're here. At this X, and you want to get there, do the things that are conducive for positive thinking, positive learning, self-examination, doing the things, no matter what your spiritual inclination is, do things that you know your mama told you to do, the right thing. Do the right thing. And if you can, let it go. You know, if you can, whether it's somebody is a family member or not, a significant other, I forgive you. Let it go. I forgive you, but I remember last week or last year when you did. Counterproductive. Doesn't work. Take a fool's advice. It doesn't work. It's emotional baggage. And if you can get past that, you will enrich and you will enhance the duration of your life. Take it easy.
Amen. All right. Well, with that being said, I want to thank you, sir. I thank you so much, my brother, for blessing us, Phoenix, and have a blessed rest of your day. And I'll be talking to you soon. And also yesterday we had my brother, Sidney Justin, lead singer for the Miracles, who came on and blessed us. What a great conversation we had with him. And also, he was the lead singer for Shalimar as well after Howard Hewitt left. So, here we go with the Miracles, and
okay.
We'll be back.
Sounds good.
Have a good one. Throwback.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Miracles.
Did you hear that very, very, very last note that he hit? Man, it just sounds like something I could do. Well, at least in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, man, I would have hit that too. I couldn't even think of that note. He went there. I was like, oh, man, what a beautiful, you know, it's like I said, it's you coming behind him? You coming behind what? You coming behind Smokey Robinson? Come on, man. That's tough to do, man. That's, you know, we're asking a little too much. But anyway, guys, it's Throwback Thursday, and this is Wardell Posh Jr., the second half of the show, and we're gonna have a good time reminiscing, going back down my old school Philly jazz, Philly sound. Let's go together on Solar Records Radio. Oh, I love you.
Things that held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But don't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our stopping, no 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 stopping, there'll be no stopping, no stopping, no stopping, no stopping, there'll be no, no stopping. Ooh.
Come on, give me a record deal. Stop playing, y'all. Y'all know I'm ready. I'm ready. Anyway, guys, this is Wardell Fox Jr. We got about another 38 minutes left in the show. And so we're going to keep this music going because it feels so good. And I hope you're enjoying it, too. Come on, Whisper. Show us what you're working on. I have to say, man, this music is just really absolutely amazing. The sweet inspirations, man, let it be me. Wow, that really takes me back. Man, 1976, I think that was somewhere in there. That's crazy, beautiful. I love it, I love it. And this one is 1972. Come on, guys, let's go back together down memory lane. This is your boy, Wardell Potts Jr. guys. So, tomorrow is Friday, right? Friday. It's the beginning of the weekend. The week has just went by so quickly. But I just want you to know, tomorrow we have a very special guest on Solar Records Radio, where we celebrate the sound of Los Angeles Records. We are going to have the lead singer from this amazing group, The Deal. Tune in tomorrow, 3 p.m., Carlos Green. That was fun. We had a good time. Ricky Freeze and myself wrote that for the Brothers Johnson. Man, oh, man, that boy could play that bass, huh? Come on, man. His thumb was just ridiculous. Anyway, guys, time is up over here. And my little poodle's laying underneath my console snoring. Come on, girl. Anyway, guys, I thank you so much for tuning in today. We do appreciate you here at Solar Records Radio. And it is time to get going and moving forward and stuff. So, but I'll see you tomorrow. Don't forget, we have Carlos Green from The Deal, the lead singer from The Deal. He's going to be here tomorrow as we celebrate the sound of Los Angeles Records. So come hang out with us and let's have a good time together and be blessed, because you're too blessed to be stressed. So make sure you tune in with us and let's have a wonderful time together, okay? We love you guys and appreciate you very, very much. All right? So anyway, you take care. Here's Crystal, group that I worked with years ago. All right.
Oh, Beautiful town.